You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Holy Church sets forth for our edification a very interesting gospel reading. And before we go any farther, let me just say, for those who are expecting a commentary on the Supreme Court, you are not going to get one. I think it's too early to really make a commentary. I don't think this is something that you react to. I think it's something you reflect on and think about and pray about. And I still have some work to do in that regard. So perhaps later this week, something will be said. There's not much to say, but in any case, it won't be now. That being said, and certainly to some disappointment, I'm sure, of some, the gospel reading is really important today, and it's something we should not overlook. So is the epistle reading, actually. The sixth chapter of the Romans is a really very important chapter. You know, a lot of times we really undervalue St. Paul and the other epistles, because we usually talk about the gospels here. Gospels are the words of our Lord, the exact writing of the apostles. But the epistles, if they weren't important, we wouldn't read one at every divine liturgy. And so I don't think it behooves us to ignore that either. And I would urge everyone to go home and read the sixth chapter of Romans. I think that it doesn't need a lot of interpretation, and I think it will be very spiritually helpful. But today, the eighth chapter of Matthew, the centurion and his servant. At first, seems like a rather innocuous interaction. The Lord is teaching, he is preaching, he is telling people about the heavenly kingdom. And here comes this centurion. Now right away, if you don't know what a centurion is, none of this is going to make sense. So we have to take a pause and say what that is. Now, most people know what a century is. That's 100 years. Well, those words are very similar and they have the same root. A centurion was a captain of 100 soldiers in the Roman army. To be an officer, you had to be a pagan. It was not something that was optional, and therefore he was definitely a pagan. Now, we have to understand how the Romans felt about the Jews that they had overthrown. First of all, they didn't respect them at all because they were able to defeat them and overthrow them. And basically, they treated them like slaves. They treated them like cattle. They were hardly even people to them, right? So, if you know that that's sort of the general way that the Romans treat the Jews, then the interaction that this powerful Roman has with our Lord is all the more remarkable. Because he doesn't come to him and say, hey you, get to my house right now. He could have done that. He absolutely could have done that. That was the way that the Romans and the Jews interacted. It wasn't a sort of please and thank, you know, if you could have find the time. No, it was like, get over there, you know, you're just like this dog, go and do what I tell you to do. But he didn't do that. He had every right to do that. But he came humbly, asking, entreating the Lord's mercy. Look, this pagan can humble himself. But can we? That's the first lesson of this gospel, brothers and sisters. And maybe the most important. Here is this person who is in a position of power. A lot of us are in positions of power. Maybe at work we have people that work for us. Certainly many of us have children. You know, we are in a position of power. Do we use that position like this centurion? Like this pagan? I mean, for goodness sakes, we've received the gospel of love. And can we not exceed even this pagan in our mercy? So let's have a few thoughts and prayers about that, I think, brothers and sisters, today. Not that I'm better, that's not what I mean. But I think we all have to think about that. And God seems to be a lover of irony. You see a lot of irony in the scriptures. And this is another example where he's using irony very powerfully. And the humility that this centurion shows is so great. He says, you know what? I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, those words. I am not worthy. This is a proud Roman saying this. Again, that should prick our heart. How often we approach the Lord like, give me what I want. You know, give me what I want, and I might go to church on Sunday once a month. Maybe. But give me what I want. You know, this is how we approach God. And here this pagan comes on his knees begging for his servant. Now, we can assume, we don't know, but I think it's a safe assumption, that the servant also is a pagan. It's almost certain that that would be the case. That a Roman of that high authority, he probably had like not a butler, but a person who was like a personal assistant. And this is what it seems that this person was. They wouldn't trust one of the conquered people to do that, most likely. So this guy was also a Roman, a pagan, who was his assistant, his servant. And what does the Lord do? He says, we have nothing to do with any of these pagans, go away. No. He heals him. He heals him. Almost certainly not a Jew, but he heals him. Why? The great faith of that centurion? For sure. And remember that the Lord has to teach the apostles and his disciples that this is going to be bigger than just a Jewish thing. This is going to go beyond just the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see even in his ministry that the Lord begins to reach out to those pagans, to those Gentiles. And when we hear about those pagans, we always see as those bad pagans, you know. They are doing such bad things. Listen, brothers and sisters, go look in the mirror. You're a Gentile. Unless you came from one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you're one of them. We're one of them. Yes, we don't worship officially as pagans anymore. Sometimes we live that way, but that's a different sermon. But we are the Gentiles. Unless you came from one of the 12 tribes, you're a Gentile. So it's kind of important that the Lord is willing to reach out to our ancestors and give them an opportunity for salvation also. And oh, by the way, isn't that an example for us living kind of in a place surrounded by other Gentiles? Can't we reach out? Can't we be kind? Can't we give a glass of water in or a little bite of food in the name of Christ? You see, brothers and sisters, this isn't just a theological question. This is a question of action. If the Lord himself was willing to reach out and to help this pagan, to heal him, can we not be good, kind to others and be a true example of Christianity to those around us? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. We can do that, but we have to decide to do that. If we just say, you know what, if the Lord makes me good, then I'll be good. And if he makes me bad, then I'll be bad. You're going to be bad. Because the Lord is not making it. You're making it. God is there to help us, but we have to act. We work with God in a synergy. His blessing, his grace, but our action. If we're sitting on the couch waiting for the guardian angels to pick us up and carry us over to the prayer corner so that we pray, it's not going to happen. I mean, miracles happen. I suppose it could. But this is not the approach. We need to act. So, brothers and sisters, on this day, when we had a pretty nice short gospel reading, and one probably it's good to look at, I think, again, because to see all the players there and everything that happens. Let's decide that today is a day when we begin to emulate the Lord, when we really make a sincere effort to become his sons and daughters, when we really embrace his message of love, which was not circumscribed by the 12 tribes of Israel, but reached out also to the Gentiles. We should be thankful for that, because that's us. but we should also take action in that regard and reach out to others. Because our good example, our example of Christian love, can help to bring people to Christ. We can plant the seed. Only the Lord can make it grow. But if we don't plant the seed, it won't grow. Brothers and sisters, let this gospel be one for you, not of silent reflection and thought, but one of action, so that not only will you come closer to the Lord, but all those others around you who see your good example will also. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.